Berylum Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again and welcome back to Verulam Sport Podcasting. Everybody listening knows we are honoured and privileged to support everything that the St Albans City Football Club, our Saints, do. And we are lucky on the line now to have Tony Colburn. You heard from him very recently, new head of communications for the Saints, the manager, the head honcho, Ian Allenson, and club ambassador, Clive Walters, all on hand to put you in the picture about a phenomenal networking event coming up July the 22nd. Tell you what, this is brilliant stuff. Always great to have so many Saints-affiliated people on the line. Tony, I want to come to you first because I was really lucky. I thoroughly enjoyed the second SNC event. It feels like a lifetime ago, back in February 2019. But maybe some people might not have heard of Saints Networking Club. Maybe they don't know what it's all about. So if you could kindly put us in the picture about what it means and what the end goal for this is.
Well, you know what we say here at Saints, Tony? One city, one club, one community. And this is very much about the community, the business community here in St Albans. In many ways, it's our way of giving back to that business community. There are so many St Albans businesses that have been vital to this football club through sponsorship, advertising, and generally supporting what we're trying to do in the community, giving their time for special projects. And as they all share a common interest in the Saints, we wanted to create an opportunity for them to network with each other, share best practice, and generally promote business in the St Albans district. So far we've had two of these events, both of which were really successful. And we were very keen not to lose the momentum that we felt was there. And the next Saints Networking Club is, as you say, is on Wednesday, 22nd of July. But of course, so we're now living in a virtual world. So it will be online. But I don't think we'll lose anything, you know, from that. I think we're all very comfortable with the idea of virtual meetings these days, aren't we? So I think it's going to be a cracking event.
I can barely wait. I'm certainly going to be involved and I'm grateful for the invite. I know I've thoroughly enjoyed being involved in the second one. I'm going to build on that in just a second. But Tony, I think you've really eloquently explained the context and the aim of the SNC events. But you and I, when we last spoke, we talked, didn't we, about how critical those amazing business partnerships that you've felt that you've fostered and you've got a kind of very strong synergistic relationship with so many important local businesses. But also, the networking word there in the SNC, I think, is so critical because what a great opportunity it is to engage with other like-minded businesses and to find those synergies and those partnerships and those win-wins, which in, I think, our modern world in 2020 are absolutely vital. So again, get involved and just, Tony, your take on the important networking opportunities that this event provides.
Yes, well, as you quite rightly point out, those businesses already have a common interest in the Saints. And there are various networking clubs and chambers around the district, and I'm sure they do a fantastic job. We like to think that we're different because we're the Saints. And there are a couple of things which our supporters will get from that. The first thing is, as I said, is that they're sharing their time with like-minded businesses. But hopefully out of those networking conversations, business opportunities develop. It's really, really important right now when we're all a little bit distanced from each other to stay in touch with what's going on in the local area. But, you know, I have to admit that we have some exciting stuff that we want to share as well as about the Saints. And it gives us a great opportunity to do that, to build really, really strong relationships, to make sure that those community partners stay with us, not just now, but for the future.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I love the last time we spoke and that amazing international brand connection. And Tony, I know you're awash with ideas and I know it's exciting time for the Saints. I look forward to being there on the 22nd to learn more. Make sure you are too, for not only a great networking event, not only partnership opportunities perhaps, but also to be totally kept in the picture with everything that the Saints are doing to build on such strong foundations. I'm going to go across now to our club ambassador, Clive Walters. Clive, I know the SNC networking event is something very dear to your heart. And I tell you, as I mentioned, I was very impressed with the slick operation and the networking opportunities that were present at the February 1, 2019, which again feels such a lifetime ago. But just whet the appetite, Clive. Give us an idea. As well as this phenomenal networking opportunity, what else can we all expect to enjoy on Wednesday the 22nd?
Thanks, Tony. Well, we intended to hold our third meeting at the St. Michael's Manor Hotel, which, as you know, is our usual venue. But we were compelled to postpone the event due to the lockdown restrictions during the prevailing coronavirus pandemic. Until the existing rules allow us to return to a live group gathering, which I hope is going to be soon, we decided to resume our Saints Networking Club meetings online, as my colleague Tony has said, and we're delighted to invite people to our resurrected free third webinar-style meeting, which, as we've established, is on Wednesday, 22nd July. This event starts at 5 p.m., and it's scheduled to finish after about an hour, about 6 p.m., during which time we'll be privileged to hear, as we were going to do before we had to postpone, from our celebrated guest speaker, the Right Honourable Lord Tom McNally, who has a close affinity to St Albans City FC and the town itself, and that's very much valued locally. So we'd be privileged to hear from our celebrated guest speaker, the Right Honourable Lord Tom McNally, who has a close affinity to St Albans City FC and the town itself, and he's very much valued locally. We'll also be hearing briefly from club manager Ian Allenson and co-chairman Lawrence Levy with updates on the existing future plans for the club, the playing staff changes and new opportunities for the community to identify with and participate in the club at a level of their choice.
Absolutely fabulous. I tell you what, I've been very privileged in my time at Verulam Sports, Clive. I've spoke to several World Cup winners, lots of MBEs, but never a Lord. So goodness me, to have access to a Lord, and not only a Lord, I think he's actually been deputy leader of the House of Lords. So his political credentials are also phenomenal. I love that he described himself as an eternal optimist, which I think we all need to be a touch of in this challenging time. And not only that, halfway decent footballer in his time. So just again, finally, just remind us of how fortunate we will be to hear from Lord Tom McNally on Wednesday the 22nd.
Well, we certainly will be. He's a very colourful character who's had a wealth of experience in politics and in football. He's entitled his talk, My Life in Politics and as a Football Supporter. And we'll hear from him and there'll be a short question and answer session afterwards. Tom's prominent career in politics has embraced serving as an MP for the Stockport South constituency. He has acted as the political assistant to no less than the Labour MP James Callaghan during his tenure. And he's actually fulfilled the role of deputy leader of the House of Lords, as you mentioned, for nearly 4 years. Also being leader of the Liberal Democrats in the House of Lords of 9 years. All this combined with his strong passion for an excellent knowledge of football, which comes from his roots in Blackpool, where, as he'll tell us, Stan Matthews and Stan Mortensen were his idols. And of course, his now strong association with St Albans, where he's made himself a regular visitor to watch the Saints and strengthened his ties as the years have gone on, certainly makes him a popular, attractive guest speaker.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I mean, irrespective of the phenomenal networking opportunities that this event provides, just to have a listen to, maybe even have an opportunity to pose a question to this man who is a true giant of the political arena. Massive coup. I can barely wait already personally until Wednesday, the 22nd of July. I'm coming now to head coach, manager, and also heavily involved in the business side of things these days of the Saints, Ian Allinson. Ian, good evening. How are you doing?
Very good, Tony. Yourself?
I'm doing really, really well. And I'll tell you what, I was saying sort of off air, and I truly mean this, it was really phenomenal for me to be at the last SNC event in February. And of course, the guest that day was Nigel Gibbs, 491 times a Watford player, two testimonials, player of the season back in 91-92 campaign. I've got to tell you, Ian, I feel as though everything I've done in my tenure here at Radio Verum Verum Sports was usurped and transcended by your awesome anchoring of the question session that evening. You really did play a blinder that evening. Put me in the shade. So appreciate your work, sir.
No, thank you very much.
I always appreciate your work in your role, though, with the Saints. And again, last time we spoke, massive, massive busy period in this sort of strange time. And again, another new signing, I think 12 that is. Of course, highly regarded keeper Dean Snedker's moving on to pastures new, but a goalkeeper out and a goalkeeper in. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the guy I think you've had your eye on for a while, young, 26-year-old Michael Johnson.
Well, I think, you know, with Michael, he's been at Hitchin now for 4 or 5 years, started quite young, played nearly 200 games for them, moved on to Braintree and then Dagenham and Redbridge. And it's highly fought off in non-league football. A couple of performances for Hitchin over the years have led them to the first round of the FA Cup. And it just, I got in conversation with Dean and I couldn't get a commitment that I felt was early enough for us to get him over the line, to get him signed, so it settles everything down. And I spoke to Michael. Michael wanted to come. His commitment was very good, and I had to make a big decision. We're not in a position where we can carry two goalkeepers to the level of, excuse me, of Dean and Michael. So, you know, Watford quite openly offered us goalkeepers on loan last year. So if we get a problem with Michael, if we get pick an injury up, then we'll turn to Watford on that one. So I was pleased to get that one over the line. And, you know, to say it's a very difficult one because Dean's been a good goalkeeper. He's been very loyal over the last 3 years. But again, you know, sometimes you have to move forward and some big decisions have to be made.
Absolutely. You do always have to make those tough choices. The thing that came out very strong to me there was at the end of the day, what you need now, maybe more so than ever, is like we're all building towards this great Saints future, is the commitment, isn't it? That utter kind of buy-in. And it seemed that as much as he has been a loyal servant, and as much as he is a fan's favourite, Dean wasn't quite able to, at this stage, give you that commitment, get things tidied up. And I salute you for reacting very quickly. He is, as you say, a highly regarded, albeit still a very young, in goalkeeping context, player. Be fascinating to see how he develops. I know there's going to be some massive Saints announcements on the night, and I know Tony is working very hard to build some great momentum. Just final quick question from a playing front, because I know people will be curious. Obviously, we've spoken here for Nanu, player of the season, such an unbelievably prolific campaign. I know you've made some great acquisitions with some talented midfielders coming on board. Is there a target to add to those 12 with maybe a supplementary striker, Ian?
Well, I think with the three strikers we've signed, with Joseph Chidd and Sean Sellers, we've certainly signed two that are proven goal scorers, though one of them is at the league below. But Sean Jeffers, has been proven at this level for the last 4 years now. And young Joseph, the lad we signed from Chelmsford, is going to be one of those players that hopefully will blossom as the season goes on. But he'll certainly learn from being around the football club in terms of giving opportunities. He'll certainly learn from Sean and Chidd. And he might, you know, take the league by surprise. You know, he's a big 6'1", 6'2" lad. He's strong, he's powerful. He just needs to improve some of the finishing. But we'll work hard on pre-season. And he might be somebody, as I say, that takes the league by storm. But certainly in the midfield areas with Kyran Wiltshire coming in, that's made us better in there. We've got somebody who's going to be a good ally for David Noble. And certainly, we're still looking for a left back. But Romeo Akinola comes highly recommended from Haringey. You know, he's only a young boy. He's only 21, but had 5 years' experience at Queen's Park Rangers. Lots of pace, lots of movement. Probably needs to score more goals. And we've spoken to him about that already. Mm-hmm. His goal return from that area has to improve. But they're all the things that these boys want to do. They want to come in. They want to improve. And we have to improve from where we was last season. You know, last season wasn't good enough. We have to improve. I have to improve. The team has to improve. And we have to make sure that we're in the right areas of the league. And because it's not a nice area to be around that bottom of the table. And it gets a little bit scary on some weekends when we're fighting for our lives to pick up 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I was been in conversation with Richard Walker, head of comms for Watford, and obviously the return of the Premier League recently. And we were saying that, you know, form before that is almost borderline irrelevant. And I guess by the time we return, fingers crossed, second weekend in September, again, all that old form just goes out of the window. But I did want to make the point, Ian, there were certainly signs of a resurgency in the latter end of the now completed season. Lots of points were picked up. I remember remarking to you, and I thought it was a very key result that you achieved against Bath, who have historically been a bogey club. So, of course, again, it's churlish to imagine that form is going to naturally map on. But nevertheless, the fruits of positivity are there, very much, I think, there for all to be reminded of.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think in the league form at the time when the season did come to an end, we were 10th, which is a vast improvement to the first half of the season. We didn't get off to a good start last year. We didn't win for the first 5 games. Took a couple of heavy defeats against Braintree. Confidence started to ebb out of the team slightly. Though some of the performances, you know, against Billericay and against Dulwich Hamlet, and it wasn't poor performances. We just didn't have enough goals in us last year. As you said, with Joe, we had to rely on him scoring 18 goals out of 37. That's not a good return in terms of where we are. So we've got to get, as I've said it all along, you know, my centre forwards have got to be scoring 15, 20 goals, and my two wide men have got to be scoring 10 and 15 goals. So if they're on target and they're scoring the goals that we request from them, that's going to give us 50, 60 goals in the season. Then you've got to get your midfield players and your centre-halves to weigh in with one or two goals. And that generally gives you a good platform to build for the season. And then once we know where we're going to be after sort of 10, 20, 30 games, then we can decide what we have to do to really push on. But, you know, as I said earlier, we certainly don't want a start to the season like we had last year, because it sort of took us a lot longer than I expected to turn it around. You know, Watford were very good that they let us have Lewis Gordon and Harry Forster towards the end of the season. But we also brought in some good players that made us a little bit stronger. I think moving Tom Bender from left back to centre half made a big difference to us. And obviously David Longking moved to the right, which made us stronger from that side of it. But again, you know, some of the wide men came to the fore in terms of Riddell Gordon came in and did well. Harry Foster did well. Zane Banton still got his 9 or 10 goals, and he was recovering from a broken leg. And obviously, probably David Noble at 38 years of age was probably the one bright thing that came out of the season, because his performances at the level he was putting in towards the end of the season was outstanding. His record on the GPS system was as high as any 21, 22-year-old. It's to say, I think you're right. You know, it's a shame because we had some big games coming up, but I felt quite confident going to those last 7 games of the season that we had turned the corner and our performances had reached a level that were going to be very good. And obviously, it didn't allow us to have the Hearts Senior Cup final, which would have been great to play Hemel in a final and try and take the cup on a 12-month basis, not on a 6-month basis.
I'm really pleased you brought that up there, nevertheless, because I was curious about that. So it's going to be shared, is it, equally between you and Hemel on that kind of 6-month basis? Is that the decision?
Apparently so. I think it's 6 months for us and 6 months for them. But, you know, it's one of them I felt we could have just carried it across the pre-season, really, or some stage this season and had the final. But listen, it's difficult because, you know, people are about to make massive decisions, and we've seen that over the last 4 months. It's not all about one person or one team. It's about individuals, and it's about collectively as a group that you've got to make these big decisions.
And Ian, it's what you do so well is making these big, crucial decisions. And nevertheless, a bit of silverware is never a bad thing. Before I go back to Tony to remind us all about how we can get involved and seriously get involved on this Wednesday the 22nd, I can't wait to be there. Ian, my final quick question to you is, last time I spoke, it was to yourself, to your son, and of course, the wonderful, your granddaughter there. And what an effort, over £16,000 she's raised for some great charities, literally getting on her bike, pre-lockdown, couldn't ride a bike without stabilizers, doing it through, you know, just enjoyment, love, getting messages from Beckham and a whole array of others. Can you just give us a quick update of where they're at with the fundraising now?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think she's got 17 more days to do to achieve the 100 miles. They're planning quite a big celebration for her at the hospice in Letchworth on the 100th day. And then we're going to do something in Corica on the Saturday in the afternoon, just to get her to ride in and just to get her thankful from the village, really, because the village have come out and been great in supporting her from that side of it. She's actually up to £23,000 as of yesterday. So she's been great. We did the Arsenal-Tottenham game yesterday, which unfortunately, obviously, Arsenal lost, but we got about £400 or £500 put on. So it's for a fantastic cause. It's, I mean, the hospice, you know, with the hospitals, the hospices, everything. It's been tough this last 4 months in terms of where they are. And they do end of life. They've got 12 beds in there. They support people really well. And it's been a really tough time for some of them people in there. And I think you forget about, you know, COVID has taken over our lives, but a lot of people die from cancer in there. We haven't seen that over the last few months of how many people have actually passed away from a different disease. And, the work they're doing there is tremendous, and the money has gone to a good cause. So we've got 17 more days to go. We want to try and get it to £25,000, which I think we'll do by the time we finish. But, you know, Lee and Faye have been, you know, the stalwarts behind this. They're the ones that have done all the hard work. And I think they're getting to the stage now where they need a little bit of a break themselves.
What an effort. My goodness me. Remind us quickly before we cycle back to Tony to get that reminder of this Wednesday, the 22nd event, of the best website or Just Giving link so that we
can... If you go to the Betty Lee Allinson Just Giving link at the Garden House Hospice, then you'll pick her up and then you could obviously give on the Just Giving link. So thank you for that, Tony. That's brilliant.
Absolutely. My sincere pleasure. Now, to conclude today's wonderful conversation, appreciate your time, one and all. I'm very excited, as I've said several times. Can't wait to hear from Lord Tom McNally to gather the newest updates from all things St. Albans City Football Club and to have an opportunity to engage with some great local businesses on Wednesday the 22nd. I know many people listening will likewise be very keen to get involved. Tony, what's the best way to get more information and to get on the list?
As you'd expect, it's to go to our website, Tony, stalbanscityfc.com. Have a look at our news feed, and there you'll find all the details, some more information about the event itself, and how to register so that we can send you the login details. And like you, we're all looking forward to it massively.
Perfect. Remind us just one final time in closing, Tony, of that website. And as I say, I know people will be eager, chomping at the bit to get engaged.
stalbanscityfc.com.
Perfect. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time massively. We love following everything to do with St. Albans City Football Club. We're excited for big announcements. We're excited for this wonderful networking event. And we can already hardly wait for the season getting underway with a new Hummel kit. So it's all great stuff. Thank you once again. And I truly wish you all every continued success and happiness. Thanks, gentlemen.